Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got two on the field. He's got two. 35, 30.
Want to get no caught. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome into Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with Paul DiTino on this Monday afternoon, coming to you live from the Giants facility. So, Paul, man, what's up? How are you?
Hey, I got to tell you something.
Anita. Uh-oh.
Look, we've got the snow and the ice melting.
Right.
Okay, which means, again, golf for her.
Soon. Not yet. Not yet. I'm hoping this is the last week that we're in the 40s. I don't like playing golf in the 40s. I'll tee it up 55, 60, 62. Okay. So hopefully this is the last week, and after this week, I'll be able to hit the links.
Okay. For me, it means starting to get real intensive in terms of the studying for the draft, because let's say, free agency is already a couple of weeks now, about a week or so in the books, and the draft is just around the corner, and that's what it signals for me. You know, people talk about pitchers and catchers all the time. No. This means the draft is coming, Anita, and that's what it's all about for me. But in any event, looking forward to doing the show today. I think we got a lot of good stuff to talk about. We got the NCAA brackets. We got the Giants play bracket for the 5 years of MetLife Stadium. Got a lot of stuff going on today. It's going
to
be cool.
Yeah. So why don't you, since you threw it out there, why don't you explain folks how to Giants.com?
Oh, okay. Well, Giants.com is running a Giants greatest plays in MetLife history bracket competition, kind of like the NCAA brackets. So if you head over to Giants.com, go over to the bottom right of the page, you'll see the big graphic there where it tells you where you could log on and vote for your best selections as to the best Giants plays over the course of the 5 years that MetLife Stadium has been open. Now, 5 years, that would be your duration here, right? You're going into year six.
I'm going into my sixth year, yes.
So,
that is correct.
It would be as long as Anita's been here and as long as MetLife Stadium has been here. So those are the plays that you're limited to, okay? So you may have other ones that, you don't see there. Well, guess what? That's because they weren't at MetLife Stadium. It's strictly the building that they're talking about. And what's going to happen is over the course of the week, you guys can click on the internet, vote for the plays that you want to advance into the next rounds in the bracket, and then we will eventually have a winner.
And obviously it's a takeoff. It's a playoff on March Madness. That's right. Selection Sunday was yesterday. And so P-Dot's over here, he actually, believe it or not, he does some play-by-play for college basketball. So he is in the know. So the last 15 minutes of the show, I'm going to go through the bracket with P-Dot and kind of get his picks, get a feel for, because let's face it, I mean, it's like Kentucky against the world. Right? Pretty much.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna win this, if you're gonna win your NCAA pool and whatever pool you play in, whether it's work or neighborhood or whatever the case may be, you're gonna win by, I believe, like the first, second day. Because that's where you're gonna accumulate. I mean, pretty much everybody's gonna have Kentucky to win the national championship, right?
Yeah. And locally speaking, it really hurt that St. John's lost to Bequa, their big center. He averages about 8 rebounds and 3.5 blocks a game, one of the leading shot blockers in the country. He was suspended because he violated team policy. And quite honestly, I know we're kind of getting off track here for a second, but from the St. John's
perspective,
I'm
sure we have a lot of St. John's fans who are Giants fans,
right?
As well. Yes.
And that was a real big shot to them. And I think they wound up with a 9. Without him, I just don't know that they're going to do very much. But anyway.
Yeah, they are a 9. They take on San Diego State. So it's going to be really important the first few rounds of the NCAA tournament to pick those upsets. Hopefully, Paul will clue us in a little bit later on in the show.
Where are your 30 brackets?
Well, this is my base. I start off with a base, and then
yes.
I branch out
okay.
from there. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. If you want to get into the show, 201-939-4513. Also, we'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, so make sure you hit us up on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. We will share those tweets, whether they're questions, comments, throughout the show with you till 1 p.m. Eastern time right here on Giants.com. So one thing that we want to do today is obviously, a lot of the moves in free agency have been made already. I do want to go through the list of some of the free agents that are still available and still out there, Paul.
Sure.
And once we do that, Paul and I, we're going to go down the Giants opponents and kind of, and I want to get into teams that we feel have either made themselves better or possibly teams that have maybe gotten worse, opponents that the Giants are going to face in 2015 based on what we've seen so far in free agency. Now, listen, we know it's not over yet. Wheeling and dealing, trades could happen leading all the way up to the draft that's going to take place. Of course, that last Thursday night in April in Chicago.
You haven't seen enough yet?
So we've seen a lot. So I think it'll be a fun show and we would love for you to participate in regard to pull up the Giants schedule. Look at some of the teams. What's the one team you think maybe have really improved their roster where prior to free agency happening, maybe you weren't so concerned about the Giants taking up. For example, I will throw out the Buffalo Bills. Rex Ryan came out this week and said, listen, we have closed the gap on the New England Patriots, pretty much the AFC East. That's the world that they live in, right? You're talking about the Dolphins and the Jets and the Buffalo Bills. And all three of those teams have really made some moves where the Patriots really have not. In fact, they lost Vince Wilfork as well as Darrelle Revis. So, to me, looking at the schedule, the Bills is one team that maybe prior to free agency, I would have said, oh, that's an easy win for the Giants in 2015. But now with the moves that they've made, maybe not so much. So that's kind of what we're gonna toss around today. 201-939-4513 is the phone number. But Paul, let's go through the list of free agents that are still out there, still available, that are intriguing to you.
Well, you know, one of the guys that came up, I guess, last week because he was let go by the Rams was left tackle Jake Long. He's been to the Pro Bowl four times, coming off of a knee injury. Clearly right now, I don't think he could pass anybody's physical based on the stuff that I've read to this point. But, you know, this is a guy who may or may not have some gas left in his tank. I think over the course of the next few months, that's a name you want to put in the back of your minds because I think as training camp comes upon us, there will be some teams who will put in a call to him who could use some offensive line help, especially at the tackle spot, who would want to keep an eye on him. And if the doctors, think that there's a chance that he could be ready for the season, that's a guy that some teams may want to take a look at because certainly his resume is good enough to warrant a look. Again, it's all about the knee. I think one of the other guys who I'm very curious about, and it seemed to me, based on what I was reading in the papers, Vince Wilfork was supposed to visit with the Texans and Romeo Crennel, his former coordinator, a couple of days ago. It didn't happen. For some reason, it got delayed till I think today. I'm not sure what's going on with him. But, you know, Wilfork is 33 years old, Anita. And I think that from watching him last year with the Pats, he's still a pretty darn good run stuffer. I think he's still got some gas in his tank. I think he could still help a team, especially in first and second down situations, as the plugger on that defensive front. So to me, he's still a big name that's out there. And, I think there are a lot of teams who should probably put in a phone call to him.
Again, 201-939-4513. Calls are already lining up in regard to our show question today. Teams that winners, losers in free agency, where they stand right now. And talking about the Giants opponents of 2015, Dwayne Kennedy said the whole AFC East.
Yeah.
The whole AFC East. What a year, right, for the Giants to face the AFC East.
Yeah, it is the division that improved the most, without question, over the first week of movement. The question with the Bills, clearly, is at quarterback. I mean, Joe Ferguson's not making a comeback anytime soon, so they've got issues there. As far as the Dolphins are concerned, you know, I like what they've done, but my problem is, and I know you're going to slap me on the wrist on this one, Anita, but when you give that much of a percentage of your salary cap to a defensive tackle like they did with Sue, I don't disagree that he's a heck of a player. I get that. And their defense is just getting better and better and better every day. But when you give that much of your salary cap to a defensive tackle, you're going to shortchange yourself elsewhere. And I also wonder about the chemistry in that locker room because he's walking in there now with a Brinks truck hanging off of his behind. And how are the other folks in that Dolphins locker room going to react to him? Or are they going to wait and see and say, hey, Sue, you're going to earn that money? You're going to play your butt off? You're going to make us better? You're going to give us a real chance to win this division? Well, then they'll warm up to him and say, great, all for one, one for all. But if they don't see the kind of work ethic that they want after the kind of guarantee he got, that could wind up being divisive. So I'm not 100% in on the Dolphins. I think there's potential there that they may be really, really on the up. I'm holding my breath.
Have you ever heard any negative comments about Sue's work ethic? I never have.
Never have, but never have heard any players on the Lions talk about him being a great teammate either. And sometimes you'll hear that about, oh, he's a pro's pro. He's a coach's player. Everybody loves him. He's the first guy in the weight room and this and that.
I don't know. If I'm Paul,
I've never heard that.
Paul, if I'm Cameron Wake, I am excited that Sue's on that defensive line. I think this is gonna be the year for Cameron Wake. I think if anybody really wins here, we're talking about winners and losers in free agency. For me, it's Cameron Wake.
Well, I'm sure he's thrilled to have him there.
Who, by the way, was on the Giants practice squad at one time. I found that out last year.
I never should have told you that.
No, man. He's like one of my favorite dudes.
Anyway.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. We've got calls lining up, so let's head out to the phone lines. Let's kick it off. Line two, Joe calling in for Virginia. Joe, you're first up. Let's bring it strong today.
Hi, Nina. Hi, Paul. How you guys doing today?
Great.
Paul, you know, I got a question for you, bud. I mean, we always talk about the Giants team. We get a lot of people calling in. What are we going to do about the draft? And my answer to that is we have no idea yet. Free agency is not over. We cannot speculate who we're going to get. We don't know if it's going to be a tackle or a tight end or a defensive tackle or a safety until this whole tight end thing has gone through. And, Paul, I mean, the way I look at it is if you look at our team, if you look at every level, we are one player away on each level. On the defensive line, we're that one defensive tackle away, maybe possibly a pass rusher. On the linebackers, if Beeson is not healthy, I'm just assuming he's not going to be. I hope that he is. We're one linebacker away. When we go to our cornerbacks, Amukamara and DRC are two very good cornerbacks that we're going to have. At the safety position, of course, we have our question marks. And then when we go to the offense at receiver, it just all depends on if Victor Cruz is healthy. I know we signed Dwayne Harris, and I think he's a great sign, but we might be one receiver away. And we are one lineman away. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, Paul, is on the lineman. Do you think if we had to go in the draft for an offensive lineman in the first round, do you think it would be Brandon Schreff or would it be the kid Petras out of Stanford? Now, do you think it would be Schreff because he's more versatile to play tackle and guard and they like that? Or do you think we would go more at the tackle for that, you know, for that position? But would he be just a mainstay there?
Well, I'm going to ask Anita to help me out on this because she was at the combine.
Thank you for the phone call, by the way.
Thank you. And she was at the combine, so she can maybe give you a little bit more of a picture than I can because I've only been studying from afar. Scherf is, to me, the consensus number one offensive lineman in this draft. Now, having said that, again, do you look at it more as a tackle or as a guard? And that changes the value of where he will drop on the board. You talk about guys like Pete, you talk about Collins, you're talking about other guys who are offensive tackles who are probably going to be first-round picks, according to the consensus, but they're not graded, you know, quite as high as Scherf is if you're looking just at the tackle spot. So if the Giants are at 9, well, now you got to place value to that player, and I don't know that those guys necessarily meet that value at 9. But I think, you know, you'll have to tell me again, you were out in Indy. Scherf does apparently have the number one ranking among the consensus folks among offensive linemen, does he not?
Yes, he does. But there is, and I'll use the word debate, but there's a big question in regard to where would you plug him in?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's not that unbelievable talent at tackle that immediately is going to translate from college to the pros, and you're going to put him in at that tackle position. You know, there's just this year, unfortunately, for offensive linemen, it wasn't like it was. How many offensive linemen went last year, like in the first round?
Half a dozen, I think it was.
Yeah, it was insane. That's not this year.
You know, the shame of it is when we talk about Zach Martin last year, it was clear he was going to be an immediate starter and he was going to be an immediate guy who could produce dividends right away. I mean, he was going to be really good either at guard or at tackle. And I think there was a little bit more certainty about him being a top 10 guy than there is about Scherf right now. That's not to say Scherf isn't going to be really good. But there was more certainty about Zach Martin. But Zach Martin's already gone. He's in the NFL already, so you can't draft him now.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's continue. Line one. Micah, calling in from Tennessee. Mike, welcome.
Hey, Just want to say thank you guys for doing this every morning, and I have a question about the safety position. I do believe in the Giants that they'll do the right thing, but who do you guys think that they will either convert to safety or pick up in the free agency or maybe draft?
Well, you're referring to the fact that Burhe and Cooper Taylor are the only two safeties right now signed on the roster. Now, yeah. You don't need to be a mathematician to understand you're going to have to get more bodies there. Is it a possibility that they get somebody, you know, off the waiver wire or get somebody off a free agency? Look, one of the guys that's available now is a Raven, a guy named Jeremy Miles. Been a sub for a lot of his career, played a little bit as a starter. Looks like he's not bad, got some ups. Spagnuolo has a connection to the Ravens. Of the guys who are left out there, at least you could make a logical connection based on the Ravens deal that Spags would know him. Well, he's not here, to my knowledge, and I would think that if Spags really wanted him, maybe he would be here. So I don't know. I don't know what Steve wants. We haven't had a chance to interview him yet since he returned to the Giants, but that would be a guy who I would probably keep an eye on. I think that around the league he'll be getting some calls because the safety crop is pretty thin.
Micah, thank you very much for the phone call. I've been getting a lot of tweets about Kenny Vaccaro from the Saints. What are your thoughts on him, his skill set?
Well, here's the interesting part. First of all, he does have a good skill set. I mean, he can play. He hits. It's hard to say one thing about the Saints defense because they've been up and down the last few years while he's been there. In some years, they've looked really good. Other years, they've looked absolutely horrible. And you got to say to yourself, well, is that a combination of all the factors, or are there just certain components in that system that just are not very good? I think Vaccaro's not bad, okay? I think he can play, and he's got a decent resume on him. The one thing about the Saints that interests me, and again, I'm going back to you for a second because you were at the combine and you talked to everybody around the league. What are the Saints doing? I mean, they are really shuffling their deck big time right now. If I'm Drew Brees, and I know Graham is in Seattle, and I know Stills is in Miami, I'm shaking my head saying, fellas, what are you doing to me?
From what has been communicated to me, the way that the Saints handled Jimmy Graham's contract last year, there were some bad feelings there, and it caused some issues with the club and Jimmy Graham in the locker room. Again, this is what's being communicated to me. And then also, apparently, Drew Brees was not a big fan of Kenny Stills.
Okay.
So that's why Kenny Stills is now in Miami. So if you have a quarterback who's not thrilled with a wide receiver that's on his core, then you make a move. So that's why, and of course, beyond that, Mike Wallace leaves Miami and goes to the Minnesota Vikings. So Wallace is now with the Vikings. Kenny Stills is now in Miami, which I think is an interesting dynamic because they do bring in Jordan Cameron, tied in from the Cleveland Browns. So now you've got that type of receiving tight end alongside Kenny Stills, who is a burner and could really stretch the field and is going to keep those safeties honest and bless you and open up, the middle of the field for Jordan Cameron. I think it's those two pickups, I think, are pretty interesting for the Dolphins offensively.
They did take away one of the running backs, right? Pierre Thomas is gone.
For the Saints.
Right. So the Saints have done some moving and shaking now. So I guess what I'm saying is, now you're giving me a little more insight into why they did those things, because from the outside looking in, I'm looking at the Saints and I'm thinking to myself, well, are they breaking this thing down? You know, are they thinking that this little, you know, cluster of good years or whatever, is it time to retool? Is it time to rebuild? What are they looking to do? Are they looking to start moving players? That's something you have to figure out if you're going to try to make a deal with them.
Again, 201-939-4513. I know a lot of Giants out there with a lot of questions in regard to the safety position. Let's continue with our calls. We go to line four, Joey in Staten Island. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Anita, Paul. First time, long time.
Hi.
Welcome in.
Hi. I'm an old school guy like you, Paul. In regard to the trenches, I believe the Giants really need to get an offensive lineman in the first round. Now, I know Jerry Reese likes to go with best talent available, but as you both mentioned in the beginning of the show, in regard to schedule, this year we're facing the AFC East and Buffalo with Rex Ryan up there. The defense is already good, but with him up there, I think they're going to be maybe even better. The Miami with Dominic and Sue signing. It's not going to be easy to defend him. and also what the Jets did. Their defense has certainly improved. So I feel like I know Jerry Reese loves taking, you know, talent best available, but considering the schedule, the potential what the Giants offense can do with those weapons, do you think this year Jerry Reese might just avoid the best talent available and pick an offensive lineman?
No, the Giants aren't going to change their system. I mean, this is what they've done for years after years after years after years. They know what their system is, and I just don't see that happening. Now, what I will tell you is this. There's no question when you look at this schedule, and I know we want to do a little bit more of this later on. The AFC East is definitely going to be defensive heavy. There's no doubt about that. And so you have to understand that, well, you're playing the teams in your division, so you know what you're going up against, although the NFC East has seen some shuffling going on too. You have to say, okay, as we approach this season, what is it that we're going to need to have at our disposal if we're going to attack these teams and we're going to be able to hold up? One thing is for sure, and Tom Coughlin made that very clear last year. Giants cut down on their penalties. They did a good job with that. They cut down on their turnovers. They did a good job with that. But what's the one thing, Anita, they really still didn't do a real good job of? Field position. And they really went out and tried to address that with Dwayne Harris because he is a dynamic kickoff returner and punt returner, also helps as a gunner. And I think on special teams, the Giants are really hoping now that they can enhance their positioning by helping field position. I think that's the one factor that Tom was really anxious to fix, and I think that the Harris signing shows that to me.
Joey, anything else before we let you go?
No, that was all. Appreciate you taking my call, guys.
Okay. We really wanted to open up the show, talk winners and losers so far in free agency. We know free agency is not done. There's still a lot of wheeling and dealing. I'm sure that will be done as we get closer to the draft, let alone draft night. First round will be on that Thursday night, rounds 2 and 3 on Friday, and then four through seven on all day on Saturday, and a new location in Chicago. By the way, word is ESPN's reporting that Jameis Winston is planning on not attending the draft. I mean, this is a guy who a lot of people are expecting him to go number one overall to the Tampa Bay Bucks. When was the last time a number one overall draft pick came out and was even considering not attending? He wants to be with his family in Alabama. He's got a huge family, and he wants to be in Alabama with his family. So,
wow,
interesting there.
So the commissioner is going to be holding up a number one with nobody in it.
With nobody in it. So, and again, anticipating, I mean, you know, a number of mock drafts, 1, 2, 3, I think we're up to 3 now, right, with Mel Kiper and those guys.
They're moving along.
Right? So we're up to 3, and all the mock drafts anticipate Jameis Winston to go number one overall to the Tampa Bay. And by the way, really quick, I attended the Maxwell Awards in Atlantic City on Friday night. I had an opportunity, I interviewed Marcus Mariota. What a class act. Just a really great young man. Excited to see where he goes. Today, he is actually visiting with the Tampa Bay Bucks and their ownership, which we know Jameis Winston did about 2 weeks ago. So interesting. So, I mean,
he'll be in Chicago.
We get it. Yes, he will be in Chicago. We get it. Listen, nothing is etched in stone. You never know. The draft has so many surprises. But just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, I was only going to say, and it goes back to what the caller said before about he understands there's still a lot of moving and shaking going on before these drafts, the picks come to fruition. And yet, as you said, Kiper's like three drafts in already.
Well, he's going to be – it's going to be like mock draft 7.0 by the time the end of April rolls around.
And it's like, you know, the truth.
So much could happen.
Yes, so much. That's why, to be honest with you, yes, I don't mind picking – telling you about certain guys I'm looking at, certain guys that are on my radar, certain guys I'm doing extra film work on. I don't mind talking about that. I don't mind talking about some of the things that these guys bring to the table. But it breaks my chops when somebody says, well, who are they going to pick at 9? Now? Really? Really? March 16th?
Well,
now?
I mean, what else? What else is going on? Free agency? We had Tag Day.
Taggy Day.
Yeah, and then we had free agency, which will obviously continue. And, I mean, so it's going to be an entire month, really discussing, even more than a month, discussing 45 days, 44 days leading up to the draft. This is what it's going to be about. 201-939-4513. So, again, what we wanted to do today, winners and losers so far in free agency and looking at the Giants' opponents. So, as we've been talking a lot about today, that AFC East division, Miami getting Sue, obviously Cameron Wake, defensively, pretty solid team. Offensively, you know what you get with Ryan Tannehill. I think this is the year that he really needs to impress because, you know, who knows what happens next season. The Miami Dolphins have already allotted a lot of money to Sue. So that's an interesting situation.
That's what I said before. High percentage of money going to DT.
Yep.
It's tough.
So what are you going to do with that quarterback position moving forward? The Buffalo Bills, Rex Ryan, what he's been able to do, the fact that they have LeSean McCoy, you know they're going to be committed to the run. Percy Harvin, by the way, has made his way to the Buffalo Bills as well, rejoining forces with Rex Ryan offensively. Sammy Watkins, Matt Cassel, will he compete with E.J. Manuel for that quarterback spot? I think from what I'm hearing and in talking to a number of the Buffalo reps, I think they would like to give E.J. Manuel another shot at it. We'll see if he gets that. The Jets, there's a chance they might draft Marcus Mariota. Will they have another rookie quarterback competing for that spot with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Geno Smith? Defensively, what side of the field are you going to go to? You got Revis on one, you got Cromartie on the other. That's pretty insane when it comes to the Jets. So very competitive, interesting four teams the Giants are going to have to face in that AFC East division. And then what I find really interesting is when we talk about the Giants in their own division and what Chip Kelly has done with the Philadelphia Eagles and all those, the plethora of running backs that he has in that backfield. Also, pretty interesting, over the weekend, there's a report that came out that Chip Kelly may trade Sam Bradford. So, yeah, now you look perplexed.
Yeah, I really am.
So he trades Nick Foles, of course. They do the quarterback swap with the Rams. And so now Chip Kelly has Sam Bradford. There's a lot of question marks. Well, does Sam Bradford really fit this system and this scheme in regard to what Chip Kelly, how that offense works? A lot of folks feel that Chip Kelly ultimately wants Marcus Mariota but doesn't want to wager their entire future to trade up and get him. But apparently, since they've acquired Sam Bradford, they've been getting a lot of calls in regard to teams offering their first-round draft pick in exchange for Sam Bradford. Maybe an opportunity for the Eagles to trade up and then make a more realistic move to get after Marcus Mariota. Who knows? Washington? Neither here nor there. Really haven't done much. There's also reports that Washington is interested in Marcus Mariota. So so your thoughts on the NFC East and what they've done in free agency, Paul?
You know, I look at the Eagles, and I just think that they're still a work in progress. I can't think that Kelly's done. There's got to be more to this as far as I'm concerned. You know, part of the whole dynamic about what he's done is he at least if you look at the production, and again, it's very subjective how much you pay a guy. But it looks to me like in more than a couple of cases, they've overpaid some guys. I will tell you this. To me, when I watched the Philadelphia Eagles on tape last year, and when I scouted the Philadelphia Eagles, and when I knew that they were coming into a game against the Giants, I would look and I would say, man, that LeSean McCoy is a problem. He was a real, real problem for a lot of reasons. DeMarco Murray is a better power running back than LeSean McCoy. Absolutely no question about it. We'll never argue that. But in terms of the all-around threat and the explosiveness and the ability to do things in the open field and the ability to make bigger plays out of smaller plays, catching the ball out of the backfield, I looked at McCoy as having a more dangerous all-around skill set than DeMarco Murray.
All right, I'm going to put you on the hot seat here for a second.
So I think they've gotten worse at running back.
Well, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. It's interesting you say, well, you've already answered my question then, because I was going to say, would you rather have one back who could pretty much do it all, like a LeSean McCoy, or would you like to have three backs in your backfield, which
Matthews,
he has accumulated in DeMarco Murray? We know he's got one skill set and one running style. Ryan Matthews, if he can stay healthy, if you look at the tape, of how the San Diego Chargers were able to utilize him. And then, of course, you've got Darren Sproles, who they utilize on third down in the passing attack if they're third and long. So now you've got – and we're not, I didn't even bring up Chris Polk, who, you know, I think has enormous talent. And now he's the fourth man on that bench now when it comes to the running back position. So now you've got so much depth at the running back position. Who knows? Maybe he trades one of them. But what would you rather have as an offensive coordinator, Paul? One running back who kind of can do it all, or those three/almost four guys who can help your offense out?
Let me just say this. If there is a plan B or a second part to what he's going to do to reconstruct this team, a trade of one of those running backs is probably going to be involved, I would think, because they have a surplus there. In terms of your specific question, I think that depends on who's running the offensive show on the team. See, if you have a Mike Martz type, and I think that Chip Kelly is a Mike Martz type, I think he believes and fashions himself as an offensive genius. I think he's got an ego. I think he's very creative offensively. Don't get me wrong. But I think really believes.
What coach doesn't have an ego?
Absolutely. I get that.
Okay.
But I do believe that he really thinks that he can out-scheme anybody in this league. And I think when you get guys like that, like a Mike Martz, they get too fancy for their own good. They've got too many play toys. And eventually they wind up self-destructing and screwing it up. So in this particular case, I think having too many toys is probably a dangerous thing for the Eagles because it may backfire on them.
Interesting. Keep in mind, Jeremy Maclin, he leaves the Philadelphia Eagles to go to his hometown in Kansas City and joins forces yet again with Andy Reid. Alex Smith finally gets a wide receiver. I don't think Alex Smith threw one touchdown pass to a wide receiver last year. How insane was that? I'm trying to think who else they may have lost or gained. It's escaping me right now. I know defensively, Byron Maxwell.
Foles and Trent Cole.
Right.
Gone. You know? I mean, they've certainly done a lot to change the dynamic of that team. And I would only say this, too, Anita. Like what I said to you about McCoy, I used to say the same thing about DeSean Jackson. And I always used to keep an eye, squint the eye, always looking out of the corner of my eye on Jeremy Maclin. I'm sorry, but to me, the guys who caused me the most trepidation on that team are no longer there. In the last 2 years, they have all been weeded out. I'm not nearly as fearful of this Eagles team, despite the fact that they've got some very good players. There's something about this mix. I just don't know. I'm not nearly as intimidated.
I also like wide receiver Jordan Matthews. Interested to see, does he take a step up this season for the Eagles, or does he take a sophomore slump back for the Eagles? 201-939-4513. Let's go to Charles, calling in from New York, wants to talk about the defensive line. Charles, welcome. You're on with Paul Dottino and Anita Marks on Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, my question today is, why haven't the Giants looked at Greg Hardy as a viable defensive lineman?
Great question. Reports today is that they're expecting him to be suspended for 7 games. That's the assumption right now.
Okay.
So beyond the Giants, this isn't a Giants thing. This is a league thing. This is an NFL thing. You know, I think that's why a lot of people aren't, because you're going after a guy who's extremely talented, who's probably demanding a lot of money, but you're not going to get him for the first 7 games of the season, and then you got to keep your fingers crossed that he behaves himself.
Understood.
So.
And just to add to this conversation about the safeties, how do you think the Giants will be looking at Raheem Moore, or possibly bringing back Stevie Brown?
Well, Stevie Brown has the medical issue off the list, Frank, and I understand he's doing pretty well, but I don't know exactly where he stands. I do think that there's a good chance that he'll make it back here, but that's strictly my opinion. Raheem Moore, I don't know where you're coming up with that one.
Why, isn't he a free agent?
No. Didn't he sign?
Yes.
I don't know. You're shaking me here.
He's off the board. He's off the board.
Oh, okay.
I think that was a couple weeks ago. Well, not
no,
a
it was
weeks
last
ago.
Week.
Last
it was
week.
Last week.
Had to be last week.
It was last
I mean,
week.
You lost me with
he
that
was,
one.
He was available at one point.
Oh, yeah.
You were right. He
yeah.
was available, but no, he's not available
I'm
anymore.
I'm thinking to myself, where'd that come from?
And Parker's gone as well. We were talking about Ron Parker.
Right.
Last week. He's gone. He's not available any longer either. I think he's going back to Kansas City.
Yes.
So.
Okay.
Charles, anything else before we let you go?
Oh, no, that is all. I appreciate you taking my call.
Hey, thank you for watching. Sure. Let's continue. Let's go down to Florida, my neck of the woods. EJ, welcome.
How you doing?
What part of Florida are you in?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale area.
Okay.
Near Pearl Springs.
All right. Born and raised in Miami, my friend.
Very nice. But I just got two quick things. First thing is, I know based on the past, Steve Spagnuolo's defense is mainly based off of the, you know, pass rush. No disrespect to the safeties that played then, but you don't usually, from what I saw, you don't have to be a big playmaker. You just got to be smart and do your job, basically. However, the only question I have is, I know we signed that JT Thomas guy from Jacksonville, who I think is a good linebacker. I just think he's underrated because of the team he played on, so he kind of gets overlooked, in my opinion. But with the guy from New England, I believe he signed 3 years, $12 million or somewhere around there. Now, I look at Raheem Moore, and he signed. Now, I get safety's probably not, you know, you don't need a playmaker back there. However, I think Raheem Moore signed for 3 years, $12 million. Now, I get there's guarantees and whatnot. There's more change in there. But my question to you is, or JT Thomas got 3 years, $12 million too, I believe. How come they were willing to spend that on depth and not at a position where we basically have nothing?
Well, I'm not going to speculate on the reasons why they pick one guy over another, but what I can tell you is this. Thomas is an outside linebacker who they – I'm sure they believe can compete for a starting job. You know, Jaquan Williams is an unrestricted free agent coming off of a concussion. So, I mean, they got a need there. That's first. Second of all, in terms of Casillas, a couple things there. A, very good special teams cover guy, and they certainly needed some help in that area. Also, I would implore you to take a look at his bio. He's been in the league, I think, 6 or 7 years. I'm thinking 6'1", about 220, 225, Anita, is that right?
Yes.
Which, to be perfectly honest, think about this for a second. Now, he's got speed and athleticism, good guy in specials. Would it shock you if it turns out in training camp he winds up playing the dime linebacker or, for lack of a better term, the third of the three-headed safety?
For the Giants, nothing surprises me.
Could happen. Could happen. So all of the talk about the safeties, well, maybe a little bit overblown because there's a chance that Casillas actually might wind up being one of those guys in the sub-package. He might wind up being, in effect, a pseudo-safety because at that size, he could do it.
Yeah.
Remember, that's what the Giants do. When you play that dime linebacker, it is that third safety. That's what he is. So anyway, I just say that lessens the importance of getting – two more safeties. You're right. They certainly could use one. But they may not need as many as some people think.
Well, just one more thing, not to be a pain. I think Craig Dahl, wasn't the safety, Craig Dahl, was he on the roster in 2007 when he won the Super Bowl?
Yeah, Dahl was here and then wound up with the Rams. He had gotten injured at one point, I believe.
Is he in the market?
If he is, I mean, I would think that, you know, he's been around the league a while. It's not like he's put together a great resume that you'd want him back, right?
He's gone. Let's look at some of the tweets that are out there.
I add one more thing real quick?
You can do whatever you want, Paul Dottino.
Spagnuolo?
Uh-huh.
Safeties? Loves to send them on the blitz.
Okay.
Loves the safety blitz. Jabril Wilson had tremendous speed and athleticism. And during that 2007 Super Bowl season, they would send him on a blitz coming off of the edge, basically like as a slot corner. And he would just rifle into that backfield, cause a lot of disruption. So that's one thing that Spags would like to do with his safeties if they have somebody who's got that kind of skill set. I turn it back to you.
Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Paul Dottino, Anita Marks with you till 1 p.m. Eastern time today here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Taking your calls and, of course, monitoring Twitter. So let's hit some of the tweets, okay? This is from Jim5178. Dottino, fact or fiction?
Uh-oh.
You ready?
Uh-oh.
O-line is the most important unit on any football team.
I'll go fact. I mean, you know how I talk. I talk about the old school, the four positions you have to have, the core positions you have to have to build off of, and left tackle is one of them. It's the trenches, really. Ultimately, the answer is the trenches, Anita. You know me better than that to just say it's going to be offensive line. It's really the trenches. It's offensive and defensive line. If you win the trenches, you've got a real good chance to win the game. So offensive line's in the trenches, so I'll go fact.
And that's why you'd like to see them draft an offensive lineman in the first round.
I could see it.
This is from Amanda Holpooch. I hope I'm pronouncing that properly. Remember last year when we thought we didn't have a tight end? Well, that worked out pretty well. Jerry will figure out the safety.
Well, you know what? You were actually parroting what Jerry Reese said last year. He was telling everybody, how do you know that one of these unknown safeties are not going to produce? And Larry Donnell came up with some pretty good numbers in the passing game. And so, you know, I understand you throwing that out there. I don't know that Lightning's going to strike twice in a different position this season, but you're certainly welcome to think that if you like.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that at any point in time, I know the tight end crop is not very deep. You know, it's not like there's an Ebron coming out this year, which, by the way, what did he do this past year for the Detroit Lions? Really not much. Went in the first round.
Remember how I did not like him last spring?
Well, let's just say you weren't fond of him.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't fond of his talents. It's not like him.
You're right.
Okay. So do you think that there is a tight end in this draft that might be available in the later rounds that you like?
I haven't gone back to my third, fourth, and fifth round projections yet. I'm still doing film work on first two round guys. But I will tell you this. There are a couple of people, quote, sleeper tight ends who I've been told to watch out for, not from this organization, but from outside this organization. They told me that they would be blocking tight ends, old school tight ends, because when I talk to people around the league and I talk to personnel guys, I'm after that kind of guy. That's what I would like to see the Giants get. I'd like to see them get a blocker and an old school tight end. So those are the conversations I have, and I am told that there are a few of those sleeper guys who could be available later on in the draft. How's that for an answer?
Okay, I like it. This is from, again, these are tweets. You can tweet us, at Giants. Make sure you include your hashtag Giants chat. Jay Orlotti, again, I hope I'm pronouncing these properly. How about D. Shelton in the first and Jake Fisher in the second? Would you like that 1-2 combination?
Well, do you really think Fisher's going to be there in the second? You've talked to Combine people. I don't know that he's going to be there. I don't know that you're going to have that option. I can understand your desire to have Shelton. I think a lot of people look at his skill set and say, wow, you know, he could be just a dynamite player. I don't necessarily, you know, begrudge you for wanting to pick him that high. Not sure about Fisher being available when the Giants pick though in round number two. I think that there are some folks who think he'll go before that. So I don't know that you would have that option.
And another thing, like, you know, I find it interesting. Like, again, all these draft gurus like Mel Kiper and these guys, like, you know, they're not only are they anticipating, you know, who these teams take in the first round, but also like the second and the third. How do you really know? Because so much insanity happens in the first round.
Yeah.
You don't know who's going to fall. You don't know who's going to trade. You don't know. So how can you anticipate what a team is going to do in the later rounds? When it's just the way that the entire draft unfolds, and also keep in mind the fact that, you know, round one is on Thursday night on prime time. Now you're giving teams another 24 hours to make phone calls and wheel and deal based on what happened in the first round. It makes it even that much more intriguing.
I think
it's hard to say, like, oh, well, they'll take this player in the first round and that player in the second round. I mean, how do you – you don't know. You don't know how it's going to unfold.
About the only thing you can say, and you'll remember, and I'm going to toot my horn here for a second. Andre Williams going to the Giants in the fourth round last year, didn't I? And that turned out to be a direct hit. The only reason that you can say something of that nature is if you look at what you consider to be a consensus value board and you say, okay, look, there are 10 running backs who, you know, have the ability to go in the first 2 days of the draft, let's say. And you look at everybody's needs and you say, well, okay, you know what? There's probably going to be 1, 2, or 3, or 4 of these guys left by the time you get to round 3. And that's kind of how you make that kind of judgment. But you're right, Anita. For someone to just sit down and say, okay, I think they're going to pick this guy in round three and this guy in round four, that is just – it's a real crapshoot. You might as well go to Atlantic City and roll dice like you did at the Maxwell Club dinner, because that's about the only way you're going to hit. But, yeah, you can approximate based on the depth of the position on the value board maybe where or what round a guy could go. But whether or not he's still going to be there, again, all it takes is one team to really like a player to say, I'm taking him, and he's gone.
201-939-4513. I know we got Lynn in Maryland. Hang tight, Lynn. I just want to get this out real quick before we do come to you. Ben Roethlisberger got a new deal. And what's really interesting about the deal is it's a five-year deal, and with incentives and everything, it comes out to be like $108 million. But in 3 years, he's guaranteed $65 million. Okay? That's the deal. Which is pretty insane. And you know what I find interesting about Ben Roethlisberger is that he really is a good quarterback. But if you're sitting at a bar somewhere and you're hanging out, drinking beers with your buddies, and you say, all right, who are the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL? Chances are Ben Roethlisberger doesn't make that top 10. And I don't think it's that he's not worthy. I just think he flows low on the radar. He's not on everybody's radar. He's kind of like one of those afterthought type of quarterbacks. It's really intriguing to me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that. But I'm with you. I actually think he is and belongs on that list whenever you talk about it. But you're right. I don't think a lot of people talk about him in that regard. You know, I remember back in the 70s, Kenny Stabler was a guy who would just win and win and win and win a ton of playoff games. Of course, always had trouble beating the Steelers. But you know, the Snake was a guy who always got things done. And when you looked at the quarterbacks of his day, I mean, people didn't talk about him that much as a great quarterback. But all he did was get teams like to the AFC Championship game every year. So, you know, Roethlisberger, of course, has two rings, which to me is what totally justifies him in the conversation. But you're right.
Well, the tweet that I wanted to share with you that came in was, how does Ben Roethlisberger's deal affect Eli Manning and Philip Rivers, who are up in 2016?
You know, here's what I will say about these negotiations. And, Anita, you've known a million agents over the years, too, and all the years you've been covering the NFL. You know, what will happen is...
Make me feel old, Paul. Thanks.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Continue.
Wealth of knowledge, though.
Go ahead.
Come on. Help me weasel out of this.
Go ahead.
Okay. What happens is an agent will go to an owner or a GM and say, this is my guy, okay? These are his contemporaries. This is how he stacks up against his contemporaries, and this is what those guys are making. So, that's where we're starting our conversation. That's the way these things usually work, okay? So you know that all of the other high-quality quarterbacks, especially guys who have won Super Bowl rings and guys who are roughly in Ben's age bracket, and of course we know about the class that he was a part of, Rivers and Manning and all those guys, they're all looking at that and they're saying, okay, thank you, Ben. You have now set the bar for all of us to have our conversations with our respective teams when it comes time to talk. Well, the owners, of course, and the GMs, they'll look at it a different way. And they're saying, well, this is how much money we have on our cap. This is how much money we can allot. This is how many guys we have signed for the next year or two. This is how many years we can afford. This is how much bonus money we can afford. They're not necessarily looking at the contemporaries' numbers. So in answer to your question, yes, Ben set the bar for all of his contemporaries to use in their talks. But I don't necessarily know that the teams are too anxious to look at those numbers, because they're going to cite a ton of other factors as to why they want to negotiate based on their prices.
201-939-4513. Lynn's been holding for quite a while. Let's bring him in. Lynn, it's been a while. How are you doing?
Good, good, good.
Welcome.
Save me, Lynn. Save me.
Listen, I'm gonna disagree with Jerry here, but I want to caution you on this. If you have to side with Jerry or side with me, in the end, I'd pick Jerry because he knows more than I do. But I just have a couple of questions about what we've been doing here over the last 3 weeks, including signing some of our own, free agents, and some free agents from other teams. You know, I don't agree with what I think is Jerry's philosophy about us being 6-10, but close to 10-6. I think we're 6-10 coming off 7-9, and I think we got some problems. I like the JPP franchise. I like Hanoski. I like Vereen. He's really going to help Eli. I think that's going to be a terrific signing. I could see us getting 90 to 100 catches out of the running backs next year with, 50, 55, 60 coming from Vereen. I like the Harris signing. I don't get Newhouse, Jerry, Shockey Brown, Reynolds, Agubanu, Ogletree. Those signings for a 6'10 team make absolutely no sense to me.
And by the way, while we were doing the show, you saw the Giants have tweeted out that John Jerry and Shockey Brown have, in fact, re-signed. They did agree over the weekend. Now, go ahead, Lee.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I had read that they were about to, but thank you for that update. I think on a 6-10 team, there's two types of players: your starters and players with potential to be starters. I don't see that in some of these signings. I mean, first week of free agency, and we got a swing tackle as a priority. I mean, we got a guy who Pro Football Focus had listed as a 21 out of 21 worst free agent numbers of our free agent numbers. I mean, Shockey Brown got fired from another team. Herzberg, sixth linebacker? Reynolds, we already got a ninth offensive lineman on the roster who's coming cheap in Mosley. I mean, Ogletree is a possible six. I mean, what kind of competition do we need at the sixth wide receiver? I'm not sure what's going on with that. Can you respond to me, Paul?
I only have one answer. Len, I have one answer for you, okay? They're going to go to training camp, and they're going to sort it all out. And just because John Jerry re-signed, just because Dallas Reynolds, I believe, re-signed a couple weeks back.
Yes, he did.
Doesn't mean they're going to be on the 53. What the Giants are trying to do here is they're trying to get as many guys as they can who they think have a chance to compete on that for that 53, and then it's going to be weeded out. I had somebody hit me up on Twitter the other day, Anita, was asking me about some of these deep on the depth chart guys and saying, well, why are they still on the team? And I was like, wait a minute. No, they're not on the team. They're coming to training camp. They got to earn their spot on the team. Just because John Jerry has re-signed doesn't mean he's on the team. If they go and get three offensive linemen in the draft, okay, they're going to compete with John Jerry, and they may knock him off the 53. John Jerry may not be on the Giants opening day 2015. Don't look at this and say, well, he's on the team. Don't do that.
Paul, I'm in this day and age, I'm for anybody who can find work in their chosen profession. So if Marshall Newhouse can find work in the NFL and John Jerry can find work in the NFL, that's great. I applaud that. I just don't want that to be on the Giants.
Well, again,
Len,
it's simply
put,
when you're signing guys deep on the depth chart, okay, they're not getting the big signing bonuses and the big guarantees that are going to put you in a position where you can't cut them during training camp because the salary cap is going to get hurt. When you're looking at the back of the depth chart, these guys are, and I don't want to belittle them. I'm not being disrespectful.
Depth
chart guys are easy cuts. If they're not good enough, they don't make it.
Okay. All right, Paul. All right. I had my say on that. Two quick points, and
got to make it quick.
Okay. What's worst case scenario, best case scenario with JPP? The best case is obvious, he signs today. But what's the worst case scenario with JPP? And, Paul, for an old-timer, here's one for you. I saw Tinnell. I saw Jimmy Patton.
Yeah.
Antrell Roll, thank you very much. Great safety. Earned every dollar. He earned it. He earned it from us. Third best safety in Giants history. I'd like your opinion on that, Paul. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Len, before you go, Spider Lockhart?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, he was – he was a corner, Paul.
No. Spider was a safety.
Was he? Update me. All right. He was a safety?
Spider was a safety.
All right. But I'll stick with Roll as the third best.
Okay. Thanks, Len.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Wow. I understand his frustration. You know, you want to see everybody upgraded, and you want to see the best 53 out there, and you want them as soon as possible, and you don't even want to go through the August training camp competition. You'd like to see it done now. I get that. I get that. But there are jobs to be won and jobs to be lost.
It's been an interesting show.
It has been.
Right? Are you back tomorrow with Lance?
No, I am back on Wednesday with you.
Okay, fantastic. So we're back together on Wednesday, and then I believe I'm back on Friday with Lance.
Okay.
And I think you're in on Thursday.
No, I'm in on Friday.
Oh.
I'm in on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday this week.
Then I guess I'm Monday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I think so.
We'll work it out. Before we go, I thought we would give our viewers a little help with their March Madness.
Uh-oh.
Of course, Selection Sunday was yesterday. The brackets came out. Now we've got like a few days to kind of make those picks and get those pools in. Paul Dottino does play-by-play for a lot of college basketball teams. And so you're kind of in the know, probably more than any of us that are watching.
Thank you for that credit.
So any of these, obviously we don't have time to go through the entire bracket, but just the first round. I mean, Kentucky obviously is a no-brainer. But
yeah.
Let's Cincinnati, Purdue. Who do you like there? Real quick.
I'm probably.
We got to do it like this.
I would go Cincinnati.
Okay. West Virginia, Buffalo.
Are you going to go through every one of these?
No, not every one.
No.
West Virginia.
I like West Virginia.
Okay. Butler, Texas.
I go Butler.
Okay. Wichita State, no-brainer there, right?
Yeah, that's easy.
Okay. Oregon, Oklahoma State. Oregon?
Even though
they got manhandled by Arizona?
Yeah, I know, but I'd go there, too.
Obviously, Arkansas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Obviously, Xavier.
Yeah.
VCU, Ohio State.
You know what? That's a good one. I go Ohio State.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. NC State, LSU.
LSU.
All right. Northern Iowa, Wyoming. Obviously, Northern Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Louisville, right?
Yeah.
San Diego State, St. John's. Uh-oh.
I'm really having a problem with St. John's off of the suspension.
Right.
I mean, and, you know, and there are people who tell me that they think St. John's actually flows better and they're more athletic when the center is out of the lineup. But I just think, you know, you lose those boards, you lose that shot blocking, I think they're going down.
Really?
Yeah.
That's sad.
It is.
Utah, obviously. Right?
Yeah.
Georgetown, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa, Davidson.
I'm going to go Davidson.
Really?
Yeah.
10 upsetting the 7.
Yeah, well, you know, you can't go chalk all the time.
No,
you
cannot.
You got to pick a few.
You cannot. Kentucky, do you feel they win it all?
It's hard for anybody at this point, I think, to go against them. I mean, you know why? Because, I'll be honest, I didn't think they'd go all the way through this season. When the season started, I didn't think they'd run the table. I really didn't. The problem is they've played a number of subpar games, and they have still found a way to scratch out wins. And what do we always say in sports, Anita? You know, when you don't play your best, when you bring your B game, your B-minus game, even your C-plus game, if you can scratch out a way to win, that tells you how great a team you really are. It's hard to pick against them.
So I had Jimmy Patsos, head coach of Siena, on my radio show on Sunday, and I asked him, I said, Jimmy, I said, if there is one team out there with a makeup who can beat Kentucky, who is it? He said, it has to be a team that puts up a lot of points and shoots threes really well.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, if Notre Dame could take care of Kansas and make it to the Elite Eight, possibly maybe that is a team. If they get hot and they're shooting threes, he said that could very well be a team that could possibly beat Kentucky. That's what he said.
They got to be lights out in that game, though. And where would that game be? Do we know the location where that game would be?
It's Cleveland.
Be in Cleveland. You know what? Notre Dame would probably have a lot of people cheering for him, too.
So.
Maybe.
But obviously, everybody and their grandmother has Kentucky coming out of the Midwest, let alone winning.
Yeah.
You like Wisconsin coming out of the West, or do you like Arizona?
I'm going Wisconsin on that. I can't help it.
Okay. Villanova, obviously. Jay Wright, my guy.
I'm a big Jay Wright fan.
Or you think Michigan State? You like Izzo?
Yeah, I'm going Michigan State.
Michigan State coming out of the East?
I am.
Okay,
I am.
And who do you like coming out of the South? You like Duke?
No. No, actually, believe it or not, I wouldn't be surprised if Utah comes out of there.
Wow. Yeah. So you like you think Utah is going to upset Duke in the Sweet 16?
I have seen Duke.
In Houston.
I have seen Duke stub their toes too many times this year for my liking.
Okay.
That's it.
Fantastic. So hopefully Paulie Dott gave you some insight.
Do me a favor, folks. Don't hold me to college hoops because I am better at football.
Hey, it's been a fun afternoon. Stay tuned to Giants.com throughout the week as, again, more free agency moves will be happening. And also, we will lead you all the way up for the next 44 days and counting to the NFL draft.
Indeed. And don't forget the Giants Bracket Challenge. I know they want to really give
it starts today.
Give
log
guys
on,
a chance.
Log on to Giants.com and select from some of the best plays, best moments in the past 5 years at MetLife Stadium. Again, a takeoff on March Madness where, of course, one play will be crowned as the best, right, play.
That's it.
In the last 5 years of MetLife Stadium. Have a great day, everybody.
Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got two on the field. He's got two. 35, 30.
What a hit to a punt.
Rosen intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.